Father, anoint my words tonight, Father. And Lord, I pray, touch people tonight. Lord, even tonight, the weapon of praise, Father, that, Lord, you've given us, may we tap into it, Father, every day of our life, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. I touch base on this morning. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. It's not a physical fight. Please understand, you're not going out here and fighting people. That's not what this is. You know, an argument, a disagreement, or something that you may have with someone, you know, those things happen in real life. But what Paul's talking about, he's talking about spiritual warfare. Some of you guys have been going through a series, I believe, with Minister Marnem about a spiritual warfare. And, you know, Dr. Morocco teaches on that. He's well studied in that, so and a lot of good material. But we're not warring. We're not warring. This kind of war that we're talking about in the Bible is not a natural war. It's very much spiritual. And the thing that you need to see and you need to understand is that Jesus himself gives us weapons of warfare. And a lot of times, you know, again, you'll never tap into the weapons of the warfare if you don't know that they exist. And for far too long, people will walk around and they'll stumble through life and they'll wonder why things happen the way that they happen sometimes. It's because they haven't tapped into knowing what they can possess. The Bible says this, you know, and I, you know, 1 Corinthians 5:7, you become a new creature, right? You become a new creature. When you get saved, when you get born again, you become a new creature in Christ. There's a newness. Did anybody feel that when they got saved? Man, I did. I felt, man, all that stuff that I had done is washed clean. Praise God. And then there was the revelation of walking into the newness of who God is. The newness of who he created me to be. That, you know, it's revelation. Revelation upon revelation. And I'm telling you tonight that you can walk in even a greater revelation of the newness of who he made you to be. Just like these weapons. The weapons that he gives us. The weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal. These aren't carnal weapons. I can't put a set of boxing gloves on and fight the enemy. And fight the devil. It doesn't work that way. And a lot of people, if I could just only fight my way, and that's what Paul's saying, you know, you're beating yourself in the air. You're throwing punches and you're not going to hit anything. You're fighting with the wrong weapons. So we've got to realize that God has given the church very specific weapons. Man, I believe there's so many things in the arsenal that God's given us that, you know, I could mention the 7 or 8 that I'll preach around and talk about, but I think there's so much more. You know, even today, I felt in my spirit, I was like, you know, humility is a weapon. And I thought of Minister Lehow. He's one of the most humble people I know. Meek. Minister Mar says, yeah, not all the time. Anyway, I'm joking. So, but you're meek and you're humble. And I realized that that's a weapon. That, you know, Moses was the most humble, was the most meekest man, the Bible said. So God can take the humility of a person and God can use that. Amen. He can use that. Anywhere I go with him, people like him. They'll go out of their way to say hi to him because he's got a big smile on my face. I'm smiling too, but it don't matter. They'll go up to him. You know, I believe sometimes that spirit, I'm nice too. I'm nice too, but they'll go up to him. Where are you from? Hawaii? That's what they always ask. Why'd you leave Hawaii for? You should say that. So, Hawaii. I think you do it very well. Minister Lehow talks. He got to go into Tunnelton. When he first moved up here, you got to go into the sticks of West Virginia, didn't you? He got to meet some people. So anyway, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. What are these strongholds? I touched on it this morning, and I'm going to get into it a little bit, but I mainly want to focus on one weapon tonight, and that's the weapon of praise. Minister Marr taught upon that, but the mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. And it goes on to say, it's casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. James 4:7, you know, says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Just know that even in the context of that, the last part of that scripture, you have to be obedient to do what the Word of God says. People will run around, I'm resisting the devil, I'm resisting. You can resist all you want, but until you learn how to submit and be obedient to what the Word says and tells you to do, you'll always be running from the devil. You know, people that say, well, I'll meet people. Yeah, the devil. They give the devil way too much room in their life. Yeah, the devil. Are you being obedient? If you choose to be obedient, the devil will leave you alone. He won't pick on you. Obedience will push the enemy away. Amen? So we have to be obedient to do what the Word of God says. But let me back up, because I covered this morning. See, the battle that rages with a believer, and, you know, anybody in general, is the battle of the mind. You know, I said it this morning, out of Romans chapter 12. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To be able to possess the weapons, you need to know in your mind that you can possess them. And a lot of times when something comes against a believer, something comes in and it tries to dictate or tries to drive a person a certain way, we have a hard time coming out of our mind and leaning into what God's given us. And those are the weapons of our warfare. Because the battle's very real. The battle of the mind is very real. Anybody with me? You know, discouragement that can come. It's a mind thing, right? Condemnation that can come. It's a mind thing. You know, do people like me? That can be a mind thing. But we have to learn how to draw our strength from the confidence of the Word. You know, one of the weapons, and I'm going to have Brother Don preach it and teach on this, but one of the weapons is the Word of God. If you don't know what the Word says about you, about your situation, about your circumstance, man, you're already in retreat mode, you're already in defeat mode. You have to know I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a new creature. Amen. I'm not going to deviate the fact that I'm brand new. Amen. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm blood bought by Jesus Christ. You know, so I hold fast to what the Word says. We have to, you know, when we think about sound doctrine, we talk about sound doctrine. Man, this is a year I feel so strong about. People have to have a knowing. Guys, this earth is going to shake. It's going to shake. The things around you are going to shake. People's lives are going to shake. It's happening. It's happening with our family members. It's happening. Things are shaking. They are. It's not like it's not real. It's very real. Things are shaking around. Well, why is this happening? Why is that happening? You know, your obedience. Your obedience. Amen. God's looking for a faithfulness. He's looking for an obedience. Amen. But I want to give you this tonight, because if you can catch this, and you can catch this in your spirit, and I pray some of you go home tonight and you dance your brains out. You go home tonight and you praise God. You praise God from the rooftops. I feel it in my stomach tonight. I'm telling you, it just hit me right there. Because see, the easiest weapon given to you as a believer is praise. It's the easiest one to obtain. And it's the one that can be furthest away from our lips, because we're trapped in our mind. We're trapped in the problem. We're trapped in whatever. But no, if we would only open our mouth, if we would only say, no, God, I need you. I'm going to praise you. Brother Don, come here. Come here, come here, come here. Because the other night he said, you know, I didn't want to come to prayer. I didn't want to come to prayer. But what happened in about an hour and 15 minutes? Just tell him. Just tell him. Praise God.
Now, when I left that, I'd been battling when I got up Saturday morning, all morning, just physically. I was just coming under attack, and it hit me all day. And I was laying on the couch, and it was about 3:30. We had prayer from 4 to 6 every Saturday, and I said to Beverly, came in and woke me up, and she said, honey, you better post something on there. You're not going to be able to make it. And I said, well, you go. Pass it on to her. But I said, no, I'm going. So I really was struggling just to get here. I mean, I drove on the way here, and I felt even somewhat unsafe. And then she told me, she said, well, honey, I'd have drove you there. But long story short, I got here about five minutes till 4, and some of the people here were joining us, and we prayed. And I was battling through it for a good hour, almost an hour and 15 minutes, and I just kept pressing in and pressing. And then all of a sudden, the anointing hit my body, and there was a quickening that came on. And it's that persevering. You know, I don't take any credit. It's just persevering. Even when you don't feel like it, you can't go after what your flesh is telling you to do. And I just, the victory came, and I instantly, my help came from above, and it lifted off, and I felt total victory, and I've felt strong ever since. So praise God.
Amen. Amen. Guys, I mean, that's you guys are going to start hearing a lot of testimonies from people, because what God's doing, God will. I mean, even Carol posted something. I just seen it. I actually didn't pray because I didn't see the message, but Carol was praying for my mom. My mom can't eat or something, or her grandma couldn't eat or something like that. Then she shows a picture of her sitting upright with a big smile on her face. My God's real. Amen. My God's real. Amen. Amen. I mean, guys, he's real. But that's a real testimony. Why people don't want to be in this, I don't understand. Why people don't want to come to church and see what God's, I don't get it. I don't understand. But I think a lot of it sometimes is because people don't know how to praise God. They don't know, you know, they'll praise their problem. They'll magnify their problem. Guys, you got to catch this in your spirit. You got to catch this in your spirit. Because I'm telling you, I'm going to pray. I told the Lord, I'm going to praise you this week like I haven't praised you for a while. My wife sees me dancing. I'll have my clothes on, promise. But if my wife sees me dancing in the backyard, amen. I know you. I'm not recording it. Maybe I am. Praise Jesus. And she shook her head. Amen. But I'm going to praise God. Amen. I'm going to choose to praise God. I'm going to make up my mind that I'm going to, you know, you can get to a place where you praise God that when something happens, man, you know what? That praise has already got it covered. That praise has already got it covered. When something happens, boom, there it is. Something happens, boom, there it is. I've already praised God. I praised my way through it. Amen? I praised my way through it. Psalm 67:3. I'm going to go through this pretty quick, but I'm going to give you some scriptures. You can write them down. You can follow along. Psalm 67:3. It says, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. See, praise, it's cardinal to the believer because it's the cheapest access that we can get to the kingdom of God. David Oyedepo says that. It's cheap because all you have to do is open your mouth. All you have to do is get to a place where, you know what, Lord, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to sing to you. Can I tell you, I'm jumping ahead. But, you know, even coming into a service around worship, we sing so that we can move into an area of praise. We sing to the Lord so we can move into an area of praise, high praise. Lord, I love you. I thank you. You ever get to a place where that's all you can, anything that comes out of your mouth is just thankfulness? Because see, that's where praise begins. It begins with thankfulness for who he is. An understanding for who he is. We don't magnify our problems. We magnify the Lord. Amen. We don't focus on the things that are going on around us. We focus on the Lord. So when the storm hits or when something happens, no, I praise myself. I praise myself through this already. I give my Lord. You know, the praise that's on my lips, I've given my Lord my praise. Amen. You know, it's the surest way to bring miracles quick into your life is praise. Is praise. You know, blessings may come without praise, but I'm going to tell you, it'll take praise to preserve the blessing. It'll take praise to preserve the blessing. It'll, you know, you can get something, you can get the blessing of the Lord in certain areas, but to keep it and to preserve it in your life, it'll take praise. Because see, oftentimes you see it. You see what happened in Israel. You know, they would forget. They would turn around, they would repent. You know, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Who said that? Joshua said that. And so he, you know, and the people, yes, we're with you. Wasn't very long, the people were, their hearts had got hard again. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And you don't deviate away. You know, that's praise coming out of your mouth. I'm praising to according to what the Word of God says. I praise the Lord. I thank you that you've given me territory. Anywhere the sole of my foot shall tread, you've given me the land. I'm praising God because He's given me. The Bible says He's given me. Amen. So you turn it around. You turn it around. Praise Jesus. You turn it around. Let me show you something in Scripture. Go to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2, verse 1. Malachi chapter 2, verse 1. Last chapter before Matthew. It says, "And now, O priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your face." That's waste. I mean, if you guys understand, that's dung. He's talking about dung. He said, "The refuse of your solemn feast, and anyone will take you away. Anyone will take you away with it." You know what he's saying? Look, if you're not going to praise me, if you're not going to worship me, you know, it's a disgrace what he's talking about. You're a disgrace. You're a disgrace. I'm going to tell you, you know, by not remembering God in the glory of God that's due to him, man, we miss the fullness of what God has. I want to tell you tonight, you can maintain a lifestyle of praise. You can maintain a lifestyle of praise. You can wake up in the morning and choose to praise Him. You can go to bed in the evening choosing to praise Him. You can praise Him in the middle part of the day. Amen? A lifestyle of praise. You know, many people will wait on the Lord, and they won't see anything happen because in the waiting, they didn't choose to praise Him. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord. Man, sometimes we got to just learn to open our mouth. Amen. Guys, I'm preaching to me tonight too. I've got to learn to open my mouth. I've got to learn to press into Him. I've got to learn, you know what, I've got to learn to see it. I've got to learn to have the eyes that can see. I've got to learn to press into that. You know, God's excited about your praise. He's excited about your praise. The Bible says He expects your praise. Amen? If you want to see God back up your life, be a person with endless praise. You say, "What do I say to the Lord?" Just magnify Him. Tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how much you're thankful. Praise is a weapon. I'm telling you, when you feel something rise up, something around you rise up, and you choose to open your mouth. You choose to give God glory. Man, everything can shift. Everything can shift. Amen. You know, David Oedipo says this too, and it's interesting. He said it's God's weapon. Praise is God's weapon to humiliate the enemy in the enemies of life. Man, that's so good. That praise will humiliate the enemies of my life. You know, the enemy raises up a standard. You know, the enemy comes in, right? Comes in like a flood, but God raises up a standard. My enemies can be squelched by my praise. Because you know what it does? It pushes God to work. He now begins to work on your behalf. He's working on your behalf because you've went to Him. You've talked to Him. You praised Him. You glorified Him. He's wanting to connect with each person here. And a lot of times, guys, this is it. It just begins with just the opening up of my mouth. The opening up. Don't shrink back from that. You know, press into that. Amen. You know, we open with praise. We close with praise. That's what we do. We open, Lord, we thank you. We glorify you. We magnify your name. When we're done praying, we close with praise. We thank the Lord for what He's done. We magnify His name. Amen. We expect God to move when we pray. When we pray. When we fast. When we pray. When we fast. You're at your best with praise. You know, David, a man after God's own heart. Why? I believe it's because David praised God. David chose a lifestyle of praise. He chose a lifestyle of praise. It's important that we give God what is due to Him. Because if we'll do that, if we give God what's due to him, he gives us back what's due to us. Amen? Do you give something to get something? You know, a lot of people, well, you're not supposed to think that way. And God'll give it to you if he wants to give it to you. He'll get it to you if he wants to get it to you. No, there's things that get God's attention. There's things that get, you know, giving. Giving can get God's attention. Amen. There's things that you can give up. There's things that you can do that get God's attention. That's why these weapons are so important. That's why you know, guys, understand, you know, Paul's saying, look, this is not a physical thing. This is a spiritual thing. Because, you know, listen, you're praising walking through Walmart. Not everybody's going to understand that or get that, right? What's he saying? What's she saying? You know, you're in a place of praise. Amen. You're in a place of praise. David was a man after God's own heart. And I truly believe it's because he praised the Lord. Psalm 69:30, verse 30, 31, it says, I will praise the name of God with a song. And I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This all shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull which has horns and hoofs. The Lord is pleased when we praise him. It's what the word says. We get his attention when we praise. Amen. Everybody awake tonight? Amen. Amen. You were created to praise. You were created to praise. Amen. Amen. I don't have anything else tonight. Pastor Brandon, you have anything you want to share? You have that look. Come if you do. I you know, guys, above all else, these weapons, man, they're real. You have access to them. Access them. Amen. Amen.
Just a quick comment. In Revelation, it says in 5, verse 8, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And then they went on to sing a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, and it goes on. But I just want to point out that the angels are responsible for the prayers of the saints. But we see in Scripture that when people praise God, God comes down in the midst of their situation. He doesn't leave that to the angels. Angels don't receive praise. In fact, the angels even say, you know, get up, don't bow down to me. I serve along with you. But angels take care of prayers and bring them before the throne room of God. The incense of the saints, the prayers of the saints. But God inhabits the praises of his people. Just like what we talked about this morning, Paul and Silas. In the midst of the praising, what shook the jail? What broke the chains off of them and set them free? It was they were praising at midnight. In the darkest hour, they praised. They were facing death, but they praised. And in the midst of the situation, they praised God anyways. Even when it looked like the end for them, they chose to praise God because of who he was and how mighty and how great he was. And it shook. It got God's attention. It shook the prison, and they were set free. Even in In the Old Testament, in when Jehoshaphat took the, you know, I think you mentioned it this morning too, didn't you? When Jehoshaphat brought the army before, you know, they were being surrounded by five armies. And he's like, what do we do? They fasted and prayed, and God said to go before them. I've taken care of them. I will, the battle is mine. It is not yours. And they sent the praisers ahead. And by the time they reached the battlefield, everything was taken care of. The enemy had turned on themselves. It brought confusion into the enemy's camp. There was Satan gets confused by our praise. Satan gets confused by our joy. He's like, I done this and I didn't, and they're laughing. I did this, this, and this, and they're singing. They're praising. They're giving God glory. And it confuses the enemy whenever we praise and we do the opposite of what he's thinking we should do. But it shows that we trust entirely in our God. It's showing whenever we praise despite what the situation is, we are showing God, I trust in you. Beyond this situation, I'm not allowing my life, my feelings, my situation to dictate how I live. I choose to praise you because of who you are, and I trust in you. I trust in your word, and I trust in who you say you are in my life. I know that you shall deliver me. I don't know how it's going to be done, but I know I shall be delivered. For you will not let the righteous be shamed. You will uphold me in your righteous right hand. For that alone, I give you glory, and I praise you. And so we come in, and we praise him, and when we do that, we shut the mouth of the enemy, and he's not able to do anything else. It locks him up. And when that happened with Jehoshaphat and his men, what did they do? They went in and took the plunder. They went in. All they had to do is go in and take the spoil. They didn't even have to fight the battle. They went in and they took the plunder for 3 days. 3 days they took the spoil. 3 days. Do you know what that's like to win a battle and take the spoil, to go in where the enemy's at and take all the goods off of them and bring it home and take it back to your family and your wife and your children and the people that live in the community with you? Look what I got you. Look, I brought you a brand new whatever it is. I got this, I got that. Why? Because the enemy's now dead and I've been given the spoils of the enemy. That's what God wants us to do. The Old Testament is a sign and an example of what God wants to do in our lives. It points to a spiritual replication of something. And so praise brings us the victory. It says, despite my situation, despite how I feel, despite what's going on, my praise will bring me through. And I trust in God more than I trust in what's going on around me. If you will allow God to bring you into the victory instead of you looking at the situation. Because, see, that's the thing. Satan tries to trick us into thinking that if I can just shift everything in the atmosphere and make it all everything look like it's destroyed and get them to believe that, then that's how they'll end up. But you got to call him out. You got to call him out on his bluff. And realize that God has the final say. And if you will believe in him and his word, then you will bring the confusion back into the enemy's camp and you'll walk away with the victory.
And I love that because that was in my notes, but I never covered it because you know, the enemy gets confused. You do. He's baffled when you praise God. When something happens in your life and you just, he doesn't know what to do with that. I just attacked them or this just happened and my people, they stop and they pray. The enemy's, he's very confused by that. So that's why praise is such a powerful weapon and the most easiest access. Remember that. We're going to get into other weapons, you know, but it's one of the easiest ones to access. Think about it. The Bible says, if anybody calls upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Access. 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 They call. There he is. You know, that's what it takes. They call. The Bible says they call. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You guys going to praise this week? Amen. You know, you're going to, you know, you're going to just, you know what? Pray, you know, start your morning off tomorrow praising him. Jump on prayer call. Get off prayer call. Praise him. Amen. You know, go to work. Praise him. Put the music on. Minister tomorrow. It's a, you know, even today. You know, it's like what she said. Put the music on. Get rid of the trash music. Guys, listen. If you listen to trash and you fill your head up with things that are trash, that's how you're going to, you're not going to praise God. There's a generation of people that will never know how to praise God because they filled their mind with too much garbage. Their mind, you have to, it's the renewed mind. Everything goes back to a lot of this. It's the renewed mind. If you don't, if you allow trashy things to come into your mind, you'll focus on those things. You'll not glorify God. You'll not magnify God. And that's the struggle, today. And, put music on. You know, and don't put sappy, sad songs on about how tough life is. Put songs on that are going to get you moving. Get you singing to the Lord. Amen. I mean, you know, get stuff that, you know, I'm not saying there's some slow Christian songs that I think are good. A few, I think. Anyway, I'm joking. But put songs on that make you move into an area of praising him. Amen. And then you move into an area of worship. You know? Yeah, man, it'll change. Everything will shift. Everything will change. When you begin to watch, I mean, I'm looking at people that I know you guys are getting this right. You're doing this. We're winning battles. I'm looking at a bunch of winners, people that have won battles. Looking across this house, I mean, man, I'm looking at people that have won. That's how we win. We win with the praise of our lips, not lip, but lips. What's that? Get up here.
To pay attention to what you listen to, you know, because just because you can relate to a song does it, and you just, oh, you know, I just feel that. I feel that song. And yes, God. And next thing you know, you're crying and you're feeling all emotional, and you think that that's God moving on you, but it's just you being emotional because you related with the song, because you related to that sad part or that hurt part or that wounded part. Or I feel, you know, I just feel like I can't go on either. And I feel like that. And so now I'm crying and I think that that's God touching me, and it's not. That's just emotions. So be careful that you're not relating to the emotion or the situation of something. In fact, I was standing there a little bit ago before things started in here, and a song came on, and it was because, you know, sometimes when we have music playing, we put it on a playlist. Well, sometimes it jumps into a song that, you know, because we get it from YouTube or whatever, and we got it on a playlist. Well, it jumped to a song, and I was like, I hadn't heard that one. I'm sitting there, and so I'm standing by the speaker, so that it's like, confusion and strife and troubles and trials. And I'm like looking back there, and I'm like, and I'm pointing to the speaker, and I'm like, and they were like, okay, because they didn't know that it was playing either, because it jumped onto something that they hadn't never played before. But it's like, even in Christian music, you can have, yeah, you can have your fill of troubles and strife and confusion and relate with what the world relates to. But if you want to walk in a place of victory, then you can't listen to that, because you'll begin to declare confusion. You'll begin to declare strife and declare problems and trials in your life whenever you begin to sing that and declare that out of your mouth. You must declare victory. You must declare. Then you'll be able to leap over a wall. You'll be able to run through a troop, as the Bible says, as David said, because you're filling yourself up with the power of God and his might, and not the world's situations and circumstances, not your feelings, not your emotions. Your emotions and your feelings will never bring you into a place of victory. Only the word of God. So you must declare the word of God out of your life, not your emotions, not your feelings.
You know, that old campfire song, I'm all out of love. You guys remember that? I'm all out of love. Well, you're always going to be out of love, right? You go around singing that stuff. I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. You know that song. You know those 80s and 90s kids in here. You go around singing that stuff. You're going to be all out of love, all right. You know, everybody's going to look depressed. Everybody's going to look. You know, you'll need medication if you go around singing that stuff. You know, every once in a while you drive down the road and you'll catch a radio station and you'll catch an old song that you used to know, right? And it's like you'll start getting that beat and you're like, oh, that's not right. I should know. I used to sing that song, you know, and you get checked. I like music and I do. But I tell you, you've got to guard your mind. You've got to guard your mind. You got to guard your heart. The enemy's only looking for a foothold. And if he can slip in any area, it's like kids with video games and you know, people that get into that. I'm not against video games. I tell Zev, I don't care if you play, but you know what? You can't let that dictate and steal your life. You know, there's a yard. We have some kids need to know that there's a yard and it, you know, there's a park that you can go to. You can go shoot basketball. There's a yard. You can ride a bicycle. Kids don't know that today. They'll spend their whole summer spending 12, 20 hours on Xbox. This isn't a part of the sermon. This is all bonus. They'll spend 20 hours a day locked in a room with a computer. When it's 75, 80, to go outside and make something. Make a water pit. Jump in a mud hole. Do something that tells the world that you're a guy. Amen? it's the truth. But, you know, that's the thing. You know, people miss this. People miss this. And I'm telling you, you know, we wonder why we have such an identity crisis in this nation. We don't let kids be kids. Get them out. You know, I there were times that I looked at my kids. We're going to do one of two things. We're either going to shut it off and we're going to put it up or I'm going to break it. That was the rule in our house. You guys, I'm being serious. That was the rule. This isn't driving this family. I don't care. You can do this for a period of time. It's reserved. But beyond that, go read another book. Read a book on leadership. This is, read. You know, guys, we all grew up with Mario Brothers. You know, for a period of time. You know, and it's like. You know, the things that people grow up with, you know, people wonder why people walk into schools and shoot people. It's because they play these video games and they get immune, they get desensitized to shooting people in the head. And they think, well, this is normal. When anybody with a conscience should know that this is not a healthy, well, it's just a video game. It's just a video game. It's just a little bit of this. It's a little bit of that. Do you see that this is what happens to a generation of people over 10, 20 years? That the enemy's coming after your kids. He's coming after your husbands. He's coming after your wives. The enemy's going to be relentless. That's why, like I said, these weapons. This is not a game. This isn't a game. You have to have. There's got to be boundaries in every adult's life. You as an adult have to have boundaries. You know, one of the things I've even seen happen lately, I've seen people that have been married for 20 and 30 years moving into areas of divorce. I'm like, if you went that long, 20 or why would you, I don't know. I mean, you know, you boy. I mean, honey, I'm never going to get bored of you. I love you. Amen. So, but you know, it's like, man, I'm telling you guys, this is you got to fight for these things. You know, the old Beastie Boys song. You got to fight for what is right. Amen. You know, so yeah. It was a joke. It's a joke. I'm done. I'm wrapping things up tonight. Yeah, and all those '80s guys said party. Yeah, you got to get in there, and you do. You have to fight these things. You have to fight against the world that's coming after our kids, coming after stuff. You got to push back. Who's going to do it if you don't? That's what you have to ask yourself. Who's going to do it? If I'm not going to, who's going to do it? Not on my watch. Not my kids. You know, I walked in here the other day. Christine had all three of her kids back there before church, and she said, "Now I want you to listen." And she's, you know, she's instructing. You know, she's not yelling at her kids. She's instructing her kids. And then people want to tell me, "Well, you know, kids can't sit in church." I said, "Go back and see Christine. Tell her kids can't sit in church." What's she done? She's instructed her kids. She's prepared her kids so that they can come in and receive from the Lord on a Sunday night. Amen. I love it. I mean, yeah, bring them in service. Amen. You know, they can't sit in service because, you know, they just can't sit that long. They fall asleep on the pew. That's all right too. Guys, you know, listen. We have to roll up our sleeves and say, you know, we're going to be different. We're going to see things differently. We're going to see things the way God wants us to see things. We're going to fight for our kids. We're going to fight for our families. Amen. I'm not, you know, we're not going to be moved by what the world tells us to do. You know, it's what's pathetic? I mean, even the White House the other day, I mean, you know, with this whole shooting in Tennessee, it's a hate crime. It's a hate crime. A person, a man, that's transgender, that decided to be a woman, it's a man, went into a school and shot six people. Shot six people. It's a hate crime. That man, that boy, used to go to that school. It's nothing more than a hate crime. And then you know what the White House does? You see how screwed up political things are? You know what the White House does? We're now going to have a transgender national holiday. Are you kidding me? It's not even like that. That's what's getting the headlines of D.C. when six people have been killed, brutally murdered by a person, by a man. Guys, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make up what people are trying to do. You know, I'm against any hate crime. If somebody walks into a mosque and shoots people, it's wrong. Period. Period. It's wrong. God doesn't like murder. It's in the Bible, right? It's in the Bible I read. So, I'm telling you, there's no time to say, well, you know, I'll get it later. You got to get it now. You got to fight now. You got to fight this thing called faith now. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. You hear me say it many times, all hands on deck. Guys, we need the body of Christ now more than ever to come together, to be a support to one another, to help one another. Amen.